Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Kings chapter number 2, I'm going to pick up reading in verse number 8. 2 Kings chapter number 2, verse number 8. The Bible said this, if you don't have a Bible, of course, it'll be on the screens. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask me what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. Watch this. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Note verse 13. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He says in the latter portion of verse number 9, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he says in verse number 13, and he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And I want to preach on this thought for just a little while today. Who's going to take up the mantle? Who's going to take up the mantle? Father, I love you today. Father, I sure appreciate you being good to us. Father, I appreciate your mercy. I appreciate your grace. God, I appreciate our church today. I appreciate the people that make it up. God, thank you, Lord, for those that was here on Friday night with our young at heart and Brother Matt and Miss Mandy and Brother Kevin and Miss Nicole working with that. God, yesterday with a men's meeting here at the church, and then some of us going to another men's meeting last night. Then back here again this morning with a good crowd. God, thank you for a good, faithful, active church. I appreciate that today. God, as we preach this morning, I pray, God, that you would help us to rightly divide the word of truth. God, you called me to do this. So, God, now I ask you, Lord, to help me over the next few minutes. God, I know that I can't do it by myself, and I beg of you not to leave me alone. God, please help me this morning. Help me to say nothing in the flesh and only the things, Lord, that you would have us to say through the utterance of the Holy Spirit. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You that knows your Bible, you can be seated this morning. You that knows the Bible knows that 2 Kings chapter number 2 here is the death of a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah was one of God's great servants, one of God's greatest servants, I believe, whenever you study his life out. It's very interesting to study his life. Elijah does get depressed and practically suicidal at one point in his life just before this, but Elijah continues to do as God would have him to do, and God continues to bless Elijah. Elijah now comes down to the end of his life, and Elijah has a helper in the ministry, and his name is Elisha. Elisha, as we study today, we'll note that he has stayed with Elijah, he has followed Elijah, and now God is going to allow him to pick up where Elijah leaves off. When we think about the mantle today, and we hear this question posed to us many times, who will take up the mantle? The first thing that comes to our mind is the death of someone. And I do understand that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And when people do die, if they're in the service of God, they're saved and serving the Lord, there is a mantle that falls. When Brother Easter passed away here, there was the former pastor of our church. There was a mantle that fell from him. And I never will forget Brother Jake talking to me and asking me, "Preacher, is it all right for me to pray to have Grandpa mantle?" And I said, "Absolutely, son." And of course, Jake is a preacher now, and boy, God, and he's not a preacher because his grandpa was. Let me back up and rephrase that. God called him to preach and put him in the ministry, amen. But God is using him in a great way now. But also, a mantle falls. It's not always because of death. My mind goes back several years ago, and I got a phone call from Miss Dawn, and they was taking Brother Randy to the hospital. And to make a long story short, Brother Randy got very critical there for several days, and we didn't even know if he was going to make it. And at the time, and now currently again now, they teach one of our Kids for Christ classes on Wednesday night. And at the time, Brother Randy and Miss Dawn had to come out of that class due to health reasons. And you know what happened? For a season of time, Brother Randy had to lay the mantle down. And you know what? Somebody had to come in behind him and pick that up and continue what the Lord had Brother Randy and Miss Dawn doing. What I'm saying to you is this today. Whenever a mantle falls, somebody needs to pick it up. When we think about the church today, I was thinking about this early this morning, and I thought about it so much as Brother Jeremy was preaching and teaching yesterday morning on helpers in the war. I was thinking about this. You know, you come to the house of God today, and if you're visiting with us, thank you so much for being here. You heard the choir get up and sing. You heard good special singing. Now you're hearing the preacher. You saw me open the service. You saw my name on the sign. If you see anything on social media, the biggest part of the time it has my picture of our family's picture on it, because I'm the pastor here. But hear me and hear me well. Everything that happened at Amazing Grace today was not just me. Matter of fact, there's no way that everything that is happening even right now as I'm preaching could be happening if it was only me. You see, over next door in the fellowship hall, there's around 30 or 40 kids from ages 3 to 11. And Brother Josh and Miss Kayla and Brother Bailey and Miss Rachel is over there working with them. There's some other kids that's 2 and 3 years old. And Brother Gavin and Miss Hannah's working with them. There's a couple ladies in the nursery this morning that's keeping the nursery. You say, "Preacher, why do you say all of that?" There's more mantles at a church than just the man of God that stands behind the pulpit and preaches. There's more places to serve than just the preacher that is preaching in the pulpit. And many times we see people serving and we say things like this, "Man, I sure would like to do that." Well, let's look this morning and see how we can pick up the mantle today. You see, whenever somebody stops coming to church, there is a mantle to pick up. When somebody stops teaching Sunday school, there is a mantle to pick up today. Here's something that you need to understand about picking up the mantle. Well, let me just back up and say this. I should have said it before now, but the mantle is the outer cloak of clothing in that day. It was what Elijah wore. It was his coat, if you want to put it on that way, his outer garment. Can I say this to you about the mantle today? The mantle, whenever you look at it, there is identification that comes along with it. In other words, you knew that was Elijah's mantle that day. There is identification that comes along with it. You see, for Elisha to pick up the mantle of Elijah, he was identifying with something. He was identifying with something. We're living in a society today, and I'm not going to chase this rabbit, but we're living in a society today that just wants to stay mutual on everything. No, you're going to identify with something one way or another. Can I say something to you? When it comes to picking up the mantle and serving God, there is identification that goes along with that. There's not only identification when they saw Elijah or Elisha with Elijah's mantle, They identified him with that, but there's also expectation that comes along with it. You see, they had saw Elijah, the man of God, do great things of God. And now Elisha has his mantle on. He is identifying with that. And you know what comes along with that? There is expectations that come along with that. Preacher, I want to do this, or I want to do that. Can I say something? There is expectations that come along with that. You see, picking up a mantle, hear me and hear me well, is all about a passion. Not a position. Can I say that again? Picking up the mantle and serving God is all about a passion, not a position. It's all about a love for the Lord and not pride. I'll never forget the church that I grew up in, and I'm moving quickly this morning because I've got a lot I want to say, but I'll never forget the church that I grew up in. There was a man there, and that man was very generous in his money and giving. But every time that he gave, he always wanted to be recognized for giving. Let me tell you what it was. It was a position to him. Had nothing to do with giving out of a heart of love to the church. He just wanted to be recognized for something. You know what? There's some people today, as long as they can stand in the front, they'll be glad to do something. As long as, hear me this morning, I might preach a little while. As long as they can hold a microphone, they'll do something. As long as they can be the lead instrument, they'll do something. Hear me and hear me well today. Picking up the mantle and serving Jesus, it's not about a position today. It's not about being recognized for something today. But it's about a passion of you realizing that the good God of glory reached down and saved your hell-deserving soul. And now we have the ability and we have the strength to serve him. Oh, yes, I feel like preaching this morning for about 2 hours. We do it because we love him. That's the reason we do it. Preacher, I'll teach a Sunday school class as long as everybody knows it. Why does it matter if everybody knows it? Why are you doing it in the first place? Preacher, I want to do something at the church. Well, I tell you what, there's a little mud in the parking lot. Do you mind washing it off? Well, no, preacher, I need to do something when everybody will see me. No, you're doing it for the wrong reason, man. I'm telling you, picking up the mantle today and serving Jesus, it's not about a position, man. It's about a passion. I'm careful to say this, but I'm going to, and if he gets mad at me, I'll shoot him because he's bigger than me. Brother Lloyd's sitting over there this morning. He's a big old youngin'. But I know his wife, and she can humble him down. Brother Lloyd's never going to stand up here and preach. You with me? He's probably never going to stand in the choir and sing. He's probably never going to sing a special song. Is everybody okay this morning? Some of y'all going, man, I'm glad he didn't point me out. I wonder what he's going to say about me. Might have been the reason I didn't point you out because I didn't want to say what I was going to say. No, just come back a minute. I'm picking. Okay, everybody laugh. Come back. Brother Lloyd's sitting over there this morning. And you know what? A couple years ago, matter of fact, it was 2 years ago yesterday, we got the first permit to start moving dirt to build this building. And as far as dealing with local inspectors, I wasn't worried about that. I know the biggest part of them, just from being in the community, being active in our county, knowing people in our county, I wasn't worried about that. But there's some people called the state. And when you move dirt, they don't like it. And they say, you got to move it here, and you can't move it past this line. And if you move it past this line, you do not pass go. You do not collect $200, and you go straight to jail. But Brother Lloyd is a contractor. Brother Lloyd runs a lot of commercial construction sites for a company. He's very successful with that. He's a very successful man in his line of work. So you know what I done? I went to Brother Lloyd, and I said, hey, man, I don't have a clue about this environmental stuff. I don't have a clue about it. What are we going to do? He said, give me just a little bit of time. I said, okay. Well, what I didn't understand, that his little bit of time, my little bit of time, they're not the same little bit of time. Y'all may not know this about me, but I don't do good with a little bit of time. Let's build a building. So Brother Lloyd probably about left the church because of me continually talking about his little bit of time that he needed. He said, preacher, you got to be patient. This stuff don't happen. Why don't it happen overnight? Are you with me? You know what he done? He pulled right alongside with us. He worked with an engineer in Greensboro. Actually ended up getting all those plans donated to our church. Saved us thousands upon thousands of dollars. When we had this big mess in the front yard that we thought we was going to have to leave in the front yard, and we was trying to figure out how to deal with that, you know who it was that called the state and got the people here to meet with us on site and got every bit of that worked out where we don't have that great big mud hole in the front yard no more. We was able to move some things around. It wasn't a man that said, hey, as long as somebody gives me credit, I'll do this. As long as you recognize me in front of the church, I'll do this. No, it was somebody that had a passion that knew that God had saved them, and they may never preach a message. They may never teach a Sunday school class. They may never sing a song, but they have something that God's blessed them with and a talent that God's blessed them with, and they said, you know what I'll do? I've got a passion to serve Him. I'll do something to help the cause of Christ. It's about a position, not a passion. I thought about this. Some people will do it as long as they are recognized. Some people will say this, well, you know, preacher, this might be a two-part message. You know, preacher, and I might just preach till 1 o'clock. I mean, what y'all gonna do? Everybody get up and walk out while I'm preaching? I'm not gonna preach till 1 o'clock. All I had was an oats and honey granola bar and a cup of coffee. If I'd eat a big breakfast, they might be a chance of it. Well, preacher, I'll do something for God when He shows me what to do. Well, can I tell you something? He already has. Listen to what He said. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, preacher, I'm not a preacher, but you're a reacher. You can share the gospel. You can hand somebody a gospel tract. You can say, let me tell you what God done for me. You know what Paul did? Every person Paul met, he said, let me tell you about the road to Damascus when there was a great light shining down out of heaven. Man, God's already told us. Watch this. 1 Corinthians or 1 Thessalonians 5. This is a command. God's already told us to do this. Pray without ceasing. You ready for the next one? Put your seatbelts on. You ready? Rejoice evermore. Didn't say complain. Matter of fact, there's nowhere in the Word of God where He does say complain. I said it last Sunday morning. I'll say it again today. Job is the prime example. Everything that's happening in Job's life, and never one time at the closing of chapter number 1 does he mention the name of Satan. He said, the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Rejoice evermore. What about this one? He's already told us what to do. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 25. Everybody ready? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. When a day that we live in, when they're having less and less church, according to the Bible, we should be having more and more church. And here's the thing. We often quote that verse and we say, you're supposed to be faithful to church. I agree with that. But there's more to the verse. It's not just going. If you was here yesterday morning, you're going to understand what I'm fixing to say. Is anybody hearing me? It's not just going. Can I get a witness? That's your cue, Brother Tim, to say amen now. It's not just going to church. Here's what he said. But exhorting one another. So in other words, when you go there, You lift each other up. You lift each other up. You praise each other. Boy, I'm preaching good this morning. You know what? If you're constantly tearing others down at the house of God and you wonder why they're not coming back, you know what the Bible said? That we exhort one another, that we lift each other up, that we tell each other that we're praying for each other, that we bear each other's burdens. Oh, yes. So, preacher, I'll do something when he tells me what to do. He's already told us. I'll never forget my dad said this, and I'm going to give you a couple points and we'll go home. My dad said this years ago. I'll never forget. He was talking to a couple, and you know the way kids do, they go to the door and listen. Miss Lisa, he was talking to a couple, and being the good preacher's kid that I was, I needed to know what was going on. So I went to the door and listened. And he said this publicly before too. But he said this. He said, you'll never be faithful over many things when you can't be faithful over a few things. And you know, sometimes the preacher or maybe Brother Elijah in the youth group will say, hey, would one of y'all run that trash down there and throw it out? You know what he's doing? He's seeing if you can be faithful over a few things. Maybe every once in a while, Brother Matt will come up to you or somebody else and say, hey, any way you can teach for me Sunday morning? And matter of fact, if you don't come to Sunday school, don't expect to be asked to teach Sunday school. Everybody okay this morning? And says, hey, can you teach for me this morning? You know what he may be doing? He may be fishing around to see how prepared you are when you stand up and teach, and if you're going to give it your all. He's seeing if you can be faithful over a few things, because if you can never be faithful over a few things, you'll never be faithful over many things. If you can't be faithful to church, you're not going to be faithful if you get a position. Why? Because you're doing it for the wrong reasons. It's not a passion. So here's Elisha. He picks up the mantle of Elijah. How do you pick up the mantle? Who's going to pick up the mantle? Who's going to carry it on? Who's going to? There was a time that I was the young pastor and the young preacher. But the truth of the matter is this: I've been pastoring 18 years now. I'm 46 years old. No, I'm not an old man, but I'm not a spring rooster no more either. You say, how do you know that? Well, let me deal down and get back up, and I'll tell you how I know that. And the truth of the matter is this: the generation that went before me, Brother Elijah, just like your grandfather, is going off the scene real quick. And you know who the next generation is that's going to be leading the churches of America? It's men my age. But here's the thing. There's got to be somebody coming behind us. There's got to be somebody coming behind us. Who's going to pick up the mantle? Preacher, I sure would like for God to use me. Preacher, I sure would like to have the power of God resting on me. Preacher, can I just say this to you? If you're a young man or an older man or a middle-aged man and you meet the qualifications of a preacher, you're to say, God, if it's your will for me to preach, then I'm willing to preach. Who is it that's going to be the next pastor at Amazing Grace? Who's going to pick up the mantle? It takes some things. Number one, go back to 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. If you never get point number one, you'll never get the rest of it. Watch this in 1 Kings chapter number 19. I wish I had time to read the whole chapter, but I'm not going to take time. Verse number 19 says this of 1 Kings chapter number 19. So he departed thence. That's Elijah, is who that is. and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he went with 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. When we're introduced to Elisha, you know what he's doing? He's just busy in the work. Can I say it again? He's just busy in the work. He's doing what he knows to do. He's making a living the way he knows to make a living. Watch verse number 20. Verse number 19. I'm just going to slow down this morning. I'll finish it tonight if I don't get done. Verse number 19. Elijah evidently saw something in Elisha. Brother Matt, how many times have you and I just been chewing the cud and I've made this statement? The reason I'm kind of hard on some is because I see something in them. Brother Mark is sitting back there this morning, and Brother Mark runs a plumbing company. And there's probably some guys that comes through there and work just a little while, and then they're gone. But then there's some guys come through there, and Brother Mark, you see something in them as their leader, and you're willing to take a little bit more of a chance on them. Why? Because you see something in them. I hope you understand what I'm saying to you this morning. I believe God allows the man of God to see some things that nobody else in the church may see. Elijah saw something in Elisha. And you know what he does? He throws his mantle on him. He's going to see what he's going to do right here. Look what the Bible said in verse number 20. And he left the oxen. What about that? Elisha, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" Now, don't read any further. We'll get to the next verse in just a second. Number one, if you're going to pick up the mantle, watch this. It takes surrender. It takes surrender. I really argued with the Lord about preaching this on Sunday morning because it's a Sunday night, Wednesday night message. Normally Sunday mornings I'm preaching salvation, but can I say something? I believe that there may be some here on Sunday mornings that loves the Lord, they're saved, but boy, they're just not where they need to be with the Lord, and that might be the reason God's got me right here. Let me tell you something, if we're ever going to serve God to the fullest of our potential, if we're ever going to pick up the mantle, if we're ever going to have the power of God resting on us the way that we need it today, first and foremost, there'll have to come a time that we surrender. It's high time that we quit giving a thrice holy God half-hearted effort. We go to church when it's convenient. We go to church when it's convenient. We go to church when... Can I just say this? What if God only visited us when it was convenient? Can I say it this way to maybe help us understand it? You know how much his phone rings? You know how many people... You ever had somebody come up to you while you was talking to somebody else and they thought everything that they were saying was more important to the person that you've already engaged in a conversation, and while they was talking, somebody else come up to and they thought they was more important than the other two people that was already standing? Anybody hear me this morning? Anybody ever been there before? How you think God feels today when everybody else is running to him, and every time we run to him, our need is the most important need? Somebody help me this morning. Our prayer is the most important prayer. What we need in our life right now is more important than anybody else's. What What if God just put us on hold? What if God treated us the way that we treated Him? What if God was as faithful to us as we are to Him? The truth of the matter is this. None of us sitting here today would get much out of God, because we all fail God on a daily basis. But boy, God is not that way. He's always there. He's a very present help in trouble in our life. He's a lily in the valley. He's a bright and morning star. He's the one that's altogether lovely. He is precious to me because I'm precious to Him. So when I review every bit of that, and the goodness of God, and the grace of God, and the mercy of God, it should cause us to find ourselves laid out on an altar and say, God, here's my life. If you can do anything with it, if you can make anything out of this mess, I surrender to you, God. I give you everything. If you're ever going to pick up the mantle, if you're ever going to do much for God, there's going to have to come a time in your life where there's total surrender. What did he do? He left the oxen. That was his livelihood. It's the way he made his living. Study manners and customs out. He walked away from his family. He surrendered his finances. He surrendered his family. Women, I can go on that. But if you're ever going to have God's hand in your life, number one, it takes surrender. Miss Tanya's coming to start playing softly. And I promise you, I got a lot more on that I'll preach tonight if God will let me. But it's surrender. Have you ever, I remember as a boy growing up, I'll give it to you this way. I remember as a boy growing up, Dad would have preachers in. He had Dr. Harold Seitler has been in our home. Man, Brother Billy Kelly. I love Brother Billy Kelly. He's been in our home. On and on I could go of men of God of days gone by that said it. I've been able, Brother Elijah, to sit around the table with them as a kid, listening to Brother Noah Fry talk about the trips to Africa. And man, I just great memories. But I'll never forget there was one man that came through one time and preached. And whenever he preached, to me, all of those men was God's men. But y'all understand what I'm saying. Number one, my favorite preacher is my daddy. Because he is my daddy, but also because he's my pastor. It's hard for me to say that, being a pastor. But I just want to tell you something about that evangelist that you listen to every once in a while that you may run all over the country to hear, and nothing wrong with that. Go to church, man, so much the more. But at 2 o'clock in the morning when everything goes south, just remember it's your pastor that'll be standing there with you. He was my pastor. Besides him, in my early ministry, but even before I got saved, before I surrendered to preach, there was a preacher came through. And his name was Evangelist Buster Seaton. If you've never heard him preach, go home, look up the message, Buster Seaton. You can find it on YouTube. Buster Seaton, the gospel as preached unto Abraham. It blow your mind. Blow your mind. And I remember hearing him the first time. And I thought, wow. Wow. I heard him again and again and again and again and again. He had two kids. Their name was Jonathan and Rebecca. We went on vacation with them. I've stayed with Brother Buster and him preaching out in places before. And I remembered right after I got saved and then right after I started preaching, Brother Lloyd, I wanted to preach like him so bad. He just, man, he had the power of God on him. He had the power of God on him. Now, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever met somebody, and I'm talking to the saved this morning, I know that. But have you ever met somebody and you went, you ever heard somebody sing? And you thought in the backside of your mind, wow, I wish I could sing like that. And it wasn't necessarily the harmony that they were singing. It wasn't necessarily the voice that they had. But it was that the power of God was on them while they were singing. You ever met somebody and they gave their testimony? And man, it really wasn't a tearjerker testimony, but Brother Randy, there was just something different about it, and you thought in the backside of your mind, man, I wish I had a touch on me like that. Well, can I just tell you this morning? God's no respecter of person. And what God does for one, God will do for all. The first step to having that in your life after salvation, I know it all starts with salvation, is complete surrender to God. Complete. I was saved. I'd been preaching. And I was married before I completely surrendered to God. I can take you back to the place at Turner's Creek Baptist Church in the altar where me and Miss Leslie knelt in November after being married in September. And we said, God, whatever it is that you want in our life, God, if it's a mission field, God, if it's pastoring, God, if it's youth ministries, God, if it's just sitting right in here with our pastor and helping him and being a servant and a layman to him, then God, that's what we want. God, here is our life. We give it to you. I can take you to the place after Madeline was born when we said, God, here's our life. We give it to you. You see, there was another one added to our life, and we give her back to God and said, God, this is your life. God, you gave it to her. We give her back to you. I can take you back to the place where we surrendered Olivia to the Lord. I can take you back to a place where we surrendered Victoria to the Lord. Hear me and hear me well. If we're going to have God's hand in our life, it starts with surrender. Don't start with somebody saying, hey, you want to be a Sunday school teacher? Hey, you want a position? That's not what it is. It's a passion for the service of God. And Elisha said, the man of God needs something. Mama, I love you. Daddy, I love you. Oxen, I love you. Finance, I love you. Family, I love you. But God needs me, and I'm going that way. A complete surrender to Him. You might be amazed what God would do with your life if you would just give Him everything.